everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Fundamentally Sound Podcast. This is your host, as always, Reeks from Barstool Sports. I got a pretty big episode today. A lot of stuff going on. This is being recorded Tuesday night. Obviously, the big news today is the Louisville situation and the taking down of the 2013 National Championship banner and the 22 Final Four banner, along with vacated wins, and really just the fact that the appeal was upheld. I get into that with Ben Brust later in the show. We also have a couple fun exercises. One, we just kind of talk about who we think are title teams, and he even gets into it a little bit with me in terms of what the difference is between a title contender and a Final Four contender. Something that gets kind of lost on people is that, you know, there aren't really 25 teams that can win it, even as open as it is this year, but there are 25 teams that can make a Final Four. Then we get into a little, since it's All-Star weekend, and our guys from the 3-on-3, Jordan Cornett and Max Biefeldt, they both came out with their All-Star teams. They did it geographically. We did a snake draft of 8 guys, and you can vote on who has the best team in a one-game scenario. Just kind of did something a little different with that. But first, the first part of the episode, I am joined by Vermont's head coach, John Becker. The Catamounts are one of my favorite mid-major teams. They're one of the most consistent mid-major teams in the country. Not even major, they're one of the most consistent teams in the country. They lost, they were the last undefeated team with a conference record. They lost on Sunday to Hartford as they get ready for America's tournament. He was kind enough to join me with about 3 games left in the regular season and then the conference tournament. They're the favorites to win the America East, obviously both regular season and the conference tournament. We talk about recruiting and scheduling and getting in a mindset in for a win-or-go-home type scenario. So big thanks to him for joining me and, you know, coming down to the end of the season where definitely a busy time for him and coaches across the country. I do my usual ask, please rate, review, subscribe, as that does help and help us grow this. And got some cool things in the works for the podcast going forward. So things like this help help me get guests and get different things going on that I think will help benefit the show, make it better, and therefore make it more enjoyable to listen to for you guys. So as always, please rate, review, subscribe. At the least, just put us ahead of Rappaport. I mean, that's all that kind of matters at this point, right? So again, we'll get into it right now, and this is the interview with John Becker and then with Ben Brust after that. So we'll get into it with Vermont head coach John Becker. All right, and now I welcome on the head coach of the Vermont Catamounts, John Becker. John, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for joining. So I want to talk to you. Obviously, you guys have been one of the more consistent mid-majors in the country the last couple of years, suffering you know, your first loss in conference play in what, the last 2 years, 2.5 years. What's it like, you know, kind of getting ready with the streak you guys had and building the consistency of a program at, you know, what's a good mid-major conference in the America East?
Yeah, no, it's been an incredible, you know, I've been here for 12 years now, 5 as an assistant, or 2 as an ops, and then 3 as an assistant, and then last 7 as head coach, and it's just it's been remarkable the consistency that we've had, you know, starting Coach Brennan and then through Mike Lonergan and now in my era. And, you know, it's 10 straight 21 seasons the program's had. And it just continues to just get a little bit bigger each year. And it's obviously really hard to do, but we've been able to really just build off of the momentum the program's had and continue to bring in really good student athletes. And the fan support here is unbelievable, and the interest in the program, you know, I think we can get kids up here. They feel that, see that, and it just kind of all feeds itself. And it's resulted in this incredible, incredible run that, you know, really the last 2 years, arguably, you know, 2 of the best years in the program's history.
Yeah. You mentioned, you know, getting guys up there and the recruiting process with the consistency, but with the shift of the game towards like the small ball era and everything like that, has there been a shift in the way that you've wanted to build the program and build the team, or has it just been kind of passed down from, like you said, Brennan to Lonergan to you?
No, it has changed. That's a great question. And you know, when I inherited from Coach Lonergan, we were a bigger, you know, big physical team, and had a lot of, kind of back to the basket type of guys and ran an offense that kind of fit that style. And, you know, as, you know, I kind of continued that for my first couple of years, but then really with the game changing and the 3-point line and small ball, like you mentioned, we've really tried to, you know, recruit. What I've tried to do is recruit a really flexible, diverse roster so that we can play a lot of different ways, you know, and I still believe in having two bigs and being probably more traditional than the game is now, but you got to be able, you got to have mobile bigs, skilled bigs hopefully can step away and stretch the court. And, you know, like we do right now, we have two bigs that can both shoot threes, and we can put five guys out there that can all score and score from beyond the arc. And so it just makes you really difficult to guard. And, and also you have to account for other teams. You know, in our league, there's teams that play small, you know, pretty small. And so you got to be able to match to them also. And so we've been fortunate to have four men that, you know, have size at 6'7", 6'8", and a perimeter skill set, but can still guard, you know, 6'4", 6'5", four men and stay in front of them. And so we've certainly tried to adapt to the game, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think one of the more remarkable stories this year is you guys getting to 12-1 with Anthony Lamb missing the majority of the season. Mm-hmm. As a coach, do you find like the almost a spin zone factor of, hey, it gets guys that maybe weren't going to play as many minutes, more minutes for when he comes back, you deepen the roster? Or is it, I guess as a coach, when you lose a player like that, how do you kind of learn to, or how quick do you have to adjust and your thought process with that?
Yeah. I mean, I think really quickly, and we've, you know, Anthony's been out, you know, for about half the season, like you mentioned, but we've lost, just about everyone's had some injuries this year. And we've kid had an ACL, and we've had Trayvon Haynes out for a game and Ernie Duncan out for a couple of games, and Sam Dingba's missed the last month and a half. So we've really, had to adjust on the fly. And I don't really worry about the injuries. It's just on to the next guy, next man up, you know, it's been our thing this year. And, we really haven't adjusted how we've played. We've been able to kind of plug in another guy. And one thing I found is that, you know, we've been fortunate. We have a really deep, you know, talented roster, but guys that maybe don't play as much are thrust into a starting job or a bigger role on the team. All those guys have felt an enormous responsibility to continue to be successful. And with their more minutes and more opportunity, they've all delivered. And, there's something to having the ability, you know, a bench guy coming in and starting, like Drew Orchard, they can play through more mistakes and have a longer leash. And that usually results in better production from guys. And it's been incredible that, you know, we haven't hung our head once about any of these injuries and just tried to figure out who the next person was and get them ready to play. And, yeah, we had two kids, Bailey Battelle and Rob Petty, who were going to redshirt this year, redshirted for half the year. And then because of injuries, we had to pull the redshirt off them. And they both stepped right in and have been productive in limited roles. And so it's been really neat and really makes this year even more amazing than any year I've been part of.
One of the things that, you know, as we get ready towards the end of the season, you hear a lot about is, you know, strength of schedule and who you play in the non-conference. And you guys played a hell of a non-conference schedule, going two Rupp and two Marquette and everything like that. Is the mindset just, hey, we'll play anybody anywhere, anytime? Or is there kind of a thought process as a consistent mid-major going, okay, we can kind of pick and choose our spots, a little bit different than you hear from, like, you know, Texas Southern, who just schedules 42 road games in a row every year, it seems like. how is the thought process for you guys who can go in and not only compete with these guys, but, you know, you play them to two, one possession game, two possession game, and have a chance to win?
Yeah.
Is it a little different?
Yeah, I mean, for us, I've always wanted to play a really hard non-conference schedule. And, you know, it's an interesting thing, especially at the mid-major level. You know, my first couple of years, I was always, you know, you're trying to prove yourself and keep your job. And, you know, that's what a lot of coaches have to really take into account. You know, and once I had success early and was able to get some stability and with my job and know that I was good, I really then tried to ratchet it up and continue to play a really difficult non-conference schedule. This year, 12 out of 15 non-conference games are on the road. That wasn't necessarily by design. I think that's too much, and it's not really fair to our home fans who come out for every game. They didn't get to see this group a lot the first couple months of the season, and that bothered me. But this year's case, we were returning so much and had such expectations, it was hard to find teams to play us, quite honestly. And so our schedule this year was a little bit of just, you know, who would play us. And we kind of took it from there, and that's why a lot of games were on the road to begin with. And we were a victim of our own success a little bit as far as that goes. But it all worked out. We ended up 10-5. I was really worried about just keeping this group together. And our schedule hurt us in only one way, and that was, I wasn't able to develop the freshmen and the bench and the younger guys as much as I have in the past and really want to, because we're playing such good teams in tough environments. I really had to play our veterans a lot just to be able to stay in those games and give us a chance to win. So the schedule came at the cost of the development of some of our younger guys, but overall, it really, we weren't a very good defensive team early in the year, and, you know, playing these really good offensive teams, Bucknell and Marquette and Kentucky and Richmond and all these teams, St. Bonaventure, you know, it exposed us. And so I think it was, it's been really beneficial once we got the league, even when we lost Anthony right before league play, of us really understanding what we needed to do to be successful, and it's worked out great.
You guys were the last undefeated conference record-wise in the country. You suffer the loss on Sunday to Hartford. I hear this, you know, yeah. Every year you hear a coach say one way or another, a loss is good or a loss is bad heading into, you know, late in the year. Do you just want to win every game and we'll take the streak as long as it can, or is there, you know, sort of a sense of relief of, okay, now we can prepare for the next game regardless, and because it is college kids at the same time.
Yeah, no, I think it's a little bit of both. I think, you know, the streak was kind of taking a life of its own, and we really haven't played well the last three or four games, and we were finding ways to win, which was great. And but I don't know if we deserve to win all of those games. And the Hartford game was much of the same. You know, we got down early, fought back, and then kind of took control of the game with 6 minutes to go. And then, Hartford made plays down the stretch, and we didn't, and they were able to come out with a win. So I think, in a sense of getting that pressure of that streak and all of the noise involved around that, you know, in some ways might have been okay, a good thing, and to kind of, yes, get the guys' attention after a loss and kind of refocus everybody for the stretch run here. You know, we'll see if that ends up being true. You know, we've practiced well the last 2 days since then. The guys seem to be focused and ready to go, and we play tomorrow night on last, senior night, and we'll see how we come out and play, and I'm really excited to see that. But so it could end up being a good thing, like you mentioned. But yeah, we're trying to win every game too. So it's not like we're happy we lost or you know, there's no moral victories there. But I do think, the way we were playing, if we were to pull that game out and continue to play the same way and pull games out, I would have been very nervous going in to the playoffs because, you know, then, you know, if that happened, you know, like what happened the other night, then our season's done. And so we'll see how the guys respond, but yeah, I think there may be an opportunity here for us to kind of understand we got to play better in order to make sure we win.
One thing I'm fascinated by in conferences like the American East, where it is a one bid league, and whether it's fair or unfair is a discussion for a whole nother day and way too long. But when you get ready for the conference tournament, where it's win or go home, and you know, the right to go to the NCAA tournament can be over in 40 minutes. What's the process like in terms of adjusting to that setup as opposed to, you know, a, 16-game regular season, you know, round-robin type event with the regular season? Is there something different in practice? Is it a different mindset? I guess kind of what's the when you know that it's one chance to get there or not?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anything changes. I just think the stakes get higher, like you mentioned, and the intensity and the, you know, you kind of want to see how your team's going to respond as far as, you know, their anxiety or nervousness. And, you know, I think that's all these situations where this is where experience in the playoff one and done environment experience really is beneficial. And we have that this year. And the guys have been through it, have won and have the confidence of knowing that they can do it, combined with our non-conference schedule playing in all these, you know, high pressure games, road games against really good teams. I think the combination of all that, you know, they know what to do. And so from my perspective this year, it's much less trying to tell them how it's going to be. They know how it's going to be. And now it's more of just giving them a game plan and let them go out there and play, hopefully, you know, with a clear head and with confidence and, you know, knowing that they've done this before, they know how to do it and go out there and try to just make sure they're as, you know, loose as possible. You know, that's how that goes. And we do all year, we kind of prepare the guys. We've always played our best basketball at the end of the year. And so that's why this year, when we've been playing just okay the last three or four games, we need to change that course a little bit. But I give the guys days off, and I try to, you know, throughout a year, make sure mentally I try to keep them as fresh as possible so they don't get to the end of the year and are just kind of worn down, you know, and have plenty left in the tank. You know, I think that this group will be in good shape heading in the playoffs if we can finish out the last three games of the regular season like we started the conference slate. And if we can get back to that, you know, we'll be good going into the playoffs.
All right, well, John, I appreciate your time. I've kept you for too long. Good luck the rest of the year, and you know, we'll be keeping an eye out to you heading into the American East tournament.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Appreciate all your guys' support, and thanks for having me on.
All right, and now we welcome back my guy, Ben Brust. Ben, what's going on, man?
Not too much. I'm pretty, feeling pretty sad right now to walk into an apartment with a Wi-Fi router that isn't working, which means I am, like, clueless to the world right now. I don't get to watch any of the games tonight. I'm trying to find a way around, but I'm thinking with my Apple TV, can I connect a phone that's streaming Watch ESPN to an Apple TV through my data?
I have no idea.
That's the closest I can get right now.
I can't even.
Not a great night of college hoops, though.
I can't even tell you to look it up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, like, this, what did people do before Wi-Fi?
I don't know.
And like, read books and stuff?
I mean, so, like, we had, I remember, like, my parents were one of, like, the first ones to get DirecTV, like, growing up, because we needed to get, like, the Giants games and Sunday Ticket, and that was the only way we could get it. And, like, I don't know what life is like with, like, cable or, like, I remember life without Wi-Fi, obviously, because we had dial-up internet and everything like that, but I can't remember life like way too much before satellite TV and internet at some capacity.
As bad as shit is going on in the world, it's a good time to be alive.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to
I just couldn't imagine not like having every information at the tip of my fingers on Google, and it's just so much easier this way.
Oh, for sure. For sure. You know who's not having an easy life right now?
I don't know where you're going to go with this.
The 2013 Louisville basketball team.
Oh, no. Yeah, well, it depends on how you look at it.
Yeah, actually, it's just their fans. Like, they still won the title. Like, their fans are just not having the best life right now.
Kevin Ware had a phenomenal tweet.
That was I quote tweeted. It was just like, Kevin Ware wins Twitter today. Like, nobody else tried to tweet something funny.
Yeah, because you didn't break your leg in half and then somehow like end up with a ring, and then he has all the power in the world today, and he used it to his advantage.
I want to sell shirts because his tweet was, I still have a fat ass ring, so my guys still have the chip. I want to sell a shirt with like Katina Powell, and like the ring like on her ass, and Kevin Ware kind of standing there. It just says 2013 national champs.
I love it.
Like I would sell.
I don't love the whole situation, but I love the way that with the situation we've been able to make fun of it. And when I say make fun of it, not in that way, like because to me you can't take it back at this point. Like there's no taking it back. It happened. They are the national champions. I would say this about any other program. Yeah. Like first off, I have no allegiance to Michigan or Louisville. It's just like Louisville won. They won the game.
The games happened.
They did some illegal stuff, but that should then, I guess, be moving forward. They should do something about it even more. I don't know, but like taking that away, it's not going to change what happened in the game.
Yeah. So that's we didn't discuss this beforehand, and I'm on the same wavelength as you. Like vacating wins or tearing down the banner is the dumbest penalty in like what the NCAA does. Like, sure, make them give back like the revenue and things like that because that hurts the program. You know, taking like the games happen. Like I remember watching Michigan Louisville. I remember Luke Hancock. I remember Peyton Siva's dad. I remember it all, and that will always be there.
Spike Albrecht, you got to give him the first half shot.
Right, like the shootout between Luke Hancock and Spike Albrecht, like everybody wanted in the 2013 championship game, and it's
a memorable one.
Right, and it's just dumb to try to erase it. Just like it's dumb that like Reggie Bush gave back his Heisman, and like Memphis had to take down the Derrick Rose year, and the Fab Five technically didn't exist. Like, just why?
The Fab Five existed. They have a 30-for-30 about that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I hope they make a 30-30 about this one.
But and,
like,
they
give
probably
us
will.
Inside scoop on like everything that went down.
I want
the juicy stuff. I want everything that went down. Because at what point can they do anything more? They can't.
Well, here's my other question. What if Louisville just doesn't take down the banner?
Right. Well, that's what I was saying. Like, Pitino's not going to take down the tattoo, and like they're not going to give back their rings. Like, they won. Even if they leave it up there, like they can't be penalized, can they? Like, it's just
unless there's some sort of like
protocol behind that. Like NCAA didn't send them that banner to put up.
Right. Like, unless there's some sort of like signed contract that you know we don't know about or something like that. What if they just leave it up?
Did UCF raise a banner for football? Did they like raise a banner?
I mean, probably. They're doing everything else to say they're champions. Why not put a banner up?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you can do whatever you want, I think. They shouldn't have to take it down.
You know what I want them to do? All right, take down this banner, put up a new banner with just a giant middle finger, and it says 2013, and then below it just say, you know what happened.
I mean, the whole thing is kind of a moot point to me.
It's just
because, yeah, I mean, it's like breaking news and what's the news? I mean, nothing's going to change.
It's just
still
the fact
be remembered.
That it's the fact that it's the first national championship band,
formal
like, vacated.
Formally. Yeah.
But it's dumb. Like I can go on YouTube right now. Me and you could. Well, you can't because you don't have Wi-Fi. But the two of us, if you did,
no, I can't.
Could go on YouTube right now, and we could watch the fucking 2013 National Championship game if we wanted.
The
in
whole
its
game.
Entirety.
The Trey Burke block that was wrongly called a foul. Luke Hank. Everything.
Everything. Everything. Like,
I want to know who called that foul, by the way. Was it a big name ref?
Oh, God. That's a great question.
I'm all into knowing all the refs nowadays. Who said I want to know which one it was? I don't give them death threats like your fans do.
I mean,
but I like knowing who screws up and who does well, in my opinion.
That's a great, great question. I'm Googling right now who the refs were in the game, and then we'll have to try to – we should try to guess what ref would have called the foul.
Oh, if it was John Higgins, that'd be amazing.
I mean, it has to be.
I ran into Gene Steratore at the Wisconsin-Purdue game, and he remembered me, and I was so happy.
Oh, Steratore?
And that – what's that?
Steratore remembered you?
Yes, I was pumped. And I gave him my business card. I was like, hoping he would, like, shoot me a text or something. So I had his number, and I got iced, man. I got shot down. It's probably just – I gave it to him, like, 10 minutes before the game, so it's probably just – in his, like, black referee pants going through the wash right now. But yeah, Gene is awesome, and it was cool that he remembered.
So
gave me a lot of good calls too. Gotta be friendly to the refs in warm ups. Like that was, I didn't like to warm up. I wasn't one of those guys that got like a huge sweat in. So I would just go like yap it up with the refs, and I stayed out of foul trouble. And I think there's a little bit of a direct correlation there.
So Higgins refed one of the games that weekend. So the only thing I can see off like my quick Google is the 10 refs that were named to the Final Four weekend. And it was John Cahill, Mike Eads, Tony Green, Carl Hess, John Higgins, Les Jones, Randy McCall, Doug Sermons, Mark Whitehead, and Terry Weimer. But I don't know.
Ooh, Terry's my guy. If Terry called it, I would have to change my mind on that.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just a pool of officials. I don't know who. Oh, I found out who called it. Oh, wait. No, that's Syracuse. Hold on. Let's see here. I found the worst calls in NCAA history. It was, they don't say. It just says, but the referee called Burke for a foul. That was,
well,
a tease.
I do know that at least I can go to YouTube on my data, and I will watch that later. I'm excited. That will give me something to do after.
So we agree, though, that it's just dumb, right? Like, you can't vacate victories. And the only – can I have a pet peeve. People saying – congrats, Michigan, on your national title. I hate that.
No, like, do you think Michigan wants that? Like,
Beeline came out and said, like, Beeline had a quote today that was like, yeah, I mean, if other people are going to coronate us, cool, but I'm never going to come out and say it.
I like that. At least he set the record straight right away.
Yeah, I mean,
if he was parading around, which Coach Beeline is awesome, he wouldn't do that.
He would never do
it. If he was parading around, then, like, then you could create the story around this happens in the future. Then you are national champions. But still, what does that matter? Like, you weren't on the court celebrating. It wasn't a real championship.
Another thing, the one thing that bothered me is people being like,
I was just trying to play devil's advocate there and like make an argument,
right,
like in the spur of the moment, and I couldn't.
The other thing that kind of bothered me are people being like, well, this will set a precedent going forward. It's like, this isn't the first time a banner's come down. Like, Derrick Rose didn't set a precedent for this. Fab Five didn't set a precedent for this. UMass didn't set a precedent. Like, nobody cares.
Well, no, all that's going to happen is they're just going to find different ways to keep, you know, bending the rules and getting caught eventually, and then the same thing's going to happen. Like, there's no way to prevent this type of situation from happening, I don't think.
No, because, again, who cares? Like, everyone remembers the games. Everyone remembers the players. It's a monetary thing. And if you're a big enough program like Louisville, like, you can probably just handle the monetary thing. It'll hurt you, but you live with it.
Yeah, I really want a Louisville 30 for 30 now.
I mean, that's going to happen at some point. Between just the whole Patino era, the fact that he was at Kentucky not long before, the fact that they won a title, lost in the Final Four, you know, the probation. Like, it's going to – I mean, it's the recipe for a 30 for 30. It's one of the 10 best programs and jobs in the country. Like, it's the perfect recipe for a college basketball 30 for 30.
Uh-huh.
I would not be surprised. I would guess 2021 we get it.
I see, the problem with this is, like, who's going to open up on the Louisville side? You know what I mean? Like, you need an inside guy that's willing to, like, go out in public and just kind of share everything. But then that closes a lot of doors for that person.
I think depending what happens with the FBI investigation, you might get people that open up. Like, if they're already fucked, why not? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, who on a personal level – or not even a personal level, what person on a professional level would want to come out and kind of rat and talk about it? Like,
I bet you Andre McGee would.
Yeah, I guess he would now.
He probably would.
as soon as you think like that you're untouchable, you're the guy under the bus,
right,
that they just throw.
So getting away from that, I want to talk about your – about what, 6 days ago or so, 5 days ago?
Last Thursday night.
You got that cool experience of being back with your team and your guys, and at Kaminsky's number retirement, or jersey retirement, I should say. What was that environment like? Because it actually ended up being a crazy game.
Awesome game.
Not as awesome as Frank's suit, though.
What was that?
Not as awesome as Frank's suit, though. Like, Frank's suit
was more awesome.
Than
the game. If you go to Frank's Instagram and check out the shoes are the coolest part.
A-plus.
Like, they're
A plus.
I'm not a sneakerhead, but like those would make me a sneakerhead.
Yeah, that's all it takes. Is
you see them? What are they? The Jordan what's?
Was he wearing the Jordan Flight 1s in all red? Or not the Flight 1s, just the Retro 1s in all red?
Retro 1s in all red, I would venture to guess. Actually, I just made that up. I have no idea.
I thought it was something like that, yeah.
Go check them out. They're sweet. And so, yeah, I picked him up from the airport, and he was in, like, an all-gold jumpsuit with his initials. And so I was like, what are you wearing? It'd be nice to be Frank coming back to Madison and like.
Oh, he had the 11s.
Getting to do whatever you want, you can do no wrong. So yeah, we went up to his presidential suite, chilled there. He went to a signing, and then everyone met at a bar. You know, because this is the first time I think we'd all seen each other since 2015 summer, after their run, and like when I got back overseas, we were all together that summer. And then two, three years, a lot changes. You know what I mean? Like everyone's got a little bit more direction in their life. But I guess, you know, Nigel and Shoei and Bronson, that crew, they're just getting started.
Right.
But we all, it was just awesome. All the parents, all the players. And then to be there with Frank, like Frank has like matured so much in a way. Like not that he's not, he hasn't changed at all, but he's matured in the way of like, just appreciating everything that he was able to do and coming back and understanding how much people like loved it. And I mean, I could tell stories about, you know, going, I didn't know if you want me to just touch on a little bit of everything at the start and then getting to the game, I guess. Like, I had bet Purdue. I had bet Purdue. And I was talking to the guy that I split the action with, and I was like, you know what? I have a feeling that maybe we should hedge this Badgers money line. You know what I mean? Like, because the payout would have been more than losing.
Oh yeah.
What we did lose on the spread. So
well,
didn't
what,
pull the trigger.
12-point dogs or so.
12-point dogs. It was a nice juicy money line that Badgers would have had. I mean, I was completely overserved after the game, and I was like. 100% okay, and I had a juicy amount, but I didn't care. You know, I mean, it was more than that. It was the experience of being back with everyone, and the Kohl Center was a little disappointing because the second and third level of the student section wasn't filled. And I figured, as freshmen, when Frank was a senior, they're now seniors. I figured they'd want to come back and like
right.
fill it up for him and kind of show appreciation. So I was a little disappointed in that, but his speech was awesome. The night was awesome. He bought 100 fireball shots. I don't know why he had to buy anything personally. but yes, it was an awesome time.
So
the Badgers, two in a row, man.
Yeah. The reason I say that is I want to ask you, I got into this conversation with somebody on Twitter last night, and this made me think of it, and it was talking about who are title contenders and the difference between a title contender and a Final Four contender, because there is a difference, right? Like, there's a difference between getting to a Final Four and winning a title. Like, you just need that little bit of extra talent, whether it's typically NBA talent, because that's who you're playing once you get to a Final Four. You're playing NBA
okay,
guys.
Real quick, there are a couple one-off situations, but I totally agree with you. Like a one-off situation would be like a UConn winning the whole thing. Like that's totally a one-off. But
yeah,
for
but
the
even then,
but they have the talent. I totally get it. I was
right.
just saying from an overall perspective, no one would have ventured to guess that they would win at all. So what I'm saying is there are the one-off cases, but I get what you're saying from an overall perspective. Going into the tournament, there are Final Four contenders, and then there are title contenders. They are two different things.
So
look at South Carolina.
Yeah.
Look at Final Four teams that get there. It's really the luck of the draw, but at the end of the day, the two best teams ended up making it to the championship.
Yeah,
didn't get the game we want, but the majority of the time, those were the two title contenders, and they made it.
Yeah, even when you get to the Final Four, even if there are surprises like South Carolina, the better team ends up typically winning in the Final Four.
Yes. Yes. And I think we've harped on this in the past. Like the tournament is great and it's full of upsets and, you know, it's fun, it's entertaining, but at the end of the day, I think it's best for everyone when you get the better teams in the final. And a lot of the time that usually happens and you just kind of enjoy the ride of the underdog or the 8 seed or the non-power five school that makes the Sweet 16 run. We all love that, but eventually it dies out. But you still do love when teams make it to the Final Four.
So I'm going to ask you a couple teams, and I want you to tell me title contender, Final Four contender, or other.
Okay.
Meaning they're not there.
Okay.
So we'll start with Virginia.
Oh, title contender. Absolutely. This is the first year that I've watched them 1 through 5, and I feel like there's enough talent offensively, if that makes sense.
Yep.
They have some different pieces. Looking coming off the bench, Devon Hall, I like the makeup of this team because in the past I feel like Tony's had talent, but they didn't really fit what he was trying to do, and now I feel like he has the talent that fits what he's trying to do.
Villanova,
absolutely a title contender. Yeah, I don't care if they drop it. Yeah. They could lose the next three, and I would still say title contender because they're due to drop a couple here and there, and they have. But if you just watch what they did against Xavier, it was almost like, to me, watching that Xavier game, it was like, I think Nova has just been waiting for this moment. They got sick of just running over everyone, and it's hard to just show up for games you're supposed to win all the time. And finally they got juiced up for a game that was like a real legit team, and you saw who you're going to see when the tournament starts, in my opinion.
What about Kansas?
I'm not sold on them. I know the Big 12 is, loaded with teams this year that have been just beating each other back and forth. They're just not a true Kansas team that I've watched. I've been disappointed with their backcourt and Graham Mikhailu, who you think you're going to be able to lean on a little bit more this year. I'll go Final Four contender because then they get in the tournament and they beat all Kansas. I'll still say Final Four contender. I don't love that.
What about, here's a better question. How many title contenders do you think there are?
I like Virginia, Villanova. I still think Michigan State is a title contender.
I think Michigan State.
Purdue without Vincent Edwards has no shot. What'd you say?
I think Michigan State's one of the two favorites to win this thing.
Yeah, I know. I mean, people will look at them being down in Northwestern at half and be like, how does that happen? They're not ready. I know Texas Tech is up there in the rankings, but I wouldn't throw them in there. They're a Final Four contender. Xavier is a title contender.
I agree.
Would you say?
I agree.
They're a fringe team, but they just have too many pieces that I think if they all click together, everyone has Elite Eight experience from that team now.
Except they have the star.
They have the star and the perfect supporting role guy.
Yep.
Who's willing to just be an asshole to get wins. And I love it. He's such an asshole, and I love it. Just keep naming teams. Arizona.
I have them as
a title
contender.
I'm not buying them this year. They're a Final Four contender, though. I think they can do it, but I don't ultimately think they win.
Duke.
Cincinnati, I was so disappointed in their, they finally got the biggest game of the year, coming off a loss. Weren't they coming off a loss?
Yep, coming off the loss at Houston.
And I figured, this would be the team that – we're kind of like Nova, that they, they were beating everyone they're supposed to beat, and then the big game we'd see who they are. In Wichita, who's gotten better throughout the season, and obviously,
Wichita.
Damn it!
So I saw that game in person. For those that didn't see, my Twitter or Instagram or anything like that, where I tweeted out a picture because Teddy Valentine called the game, and I asked him if he could get me on TV, and I walked away a little concerned about Cincinnati, but they are just kind of who I thought that, like, you know, I've been kind of talking about them a lot in the sense of, hey, this is a good
team.
They're
exactly who we said they were right in the preseason.
The difference is, and I watched this game with Cincinnati guys, like Cincinnati fans, I was talking to them about it, and we all kind of came up with the same kind of concept of what we watched, and it was Wichita State's star and Landry Shamet knows how to be the star, right? Like, he took over that game. He came out and hit his first, like, three or four shots. He attacked. He went into rhythm. And then it's just, like, they look the part. Like, I don't think they're a title contender. You know, if Wichita State made a Final Four, I'm not going to
But they have the pieces that could make a Final Four run.
They just look the part, yeah. So, what about Duke?
That's about it. I'm going through the top 25 right now.
What about Duke, Carolina?
Carolina, no, not a title contender, but I wouldn't bet against them. Depending on their matchups,
to me,
to
I
make another Final
gonna,
Four, because
I think they're just going to play 2 seed. Like, if they're a 3 seed, they're going to lose in the Sweet 16. If they're a 2 seed, you know, I think they might make an Elite Eight, but that's kind of like it for me.
Yeah, I agree. I've heard you talk about this, and I can't watch them guard the three. It's absolutely pathetic.
Yeah.
It's so pathetic. And it doesn't, like, there's no effort to get better or, like, make adjustments.
Yeah, how much do you wish you played against them?
Oh, my gosh. I wish I played against – actually, you know what? Maybe I was watching yesterday against a little Dickie Pitino, and I saw Pritzel get 6 threes, and I was like, man, I would have loved to have played against his team. They're so undisciplined. And I was like, wait, I got my career high against him.
Yep.
In the Big Ten tournament. So I was like, yeah, I guess I got my chance.
So Duke, I guess, would be the last team.
You know who I love as a sleeper? Michigan.
I don't know if they have the star. Like, last year they got that run.
They don't
have
a star.
Right.
I totally love the fact that Jordan Poole has come out of his own.
I really like him.
He's awesome. He's going to be so good in that system moving forward.
Livers.
They lose Robinson and is Wagner? Well, Wagner will go, I think, right?
Yeah, but I mean, they still get and they lose Abdul Rahman.
Man, this is going to be a great tournament. Like, I'm just looking at teams that I've watched a couple times that I was impressed with that are higher up, not non-Power Five, like Nevada. I think Nevada has a chance to make a run.
Yeah, I wish if they were healthy, they just lost Lindsey Drew for the year with an Achilles injury, and they don't have a lot of depth, and that's just kind of based on how they take in transfers and scholarships and everything like that. But if they're in the Sweet 16, like, no, I don't want to hear anybody say they're surprised. Like, I've been talking about these guys forever. Like, they are super talented. They have high major talent with the Martin twins and Kendall Stevens and Hollis Cook. Like, and then Jordan Caroline's a stud. You know, I love that Nevada team.
Let's see here. Duke, you mentioned. I just don't buy this Duke team this year. They've been better recently, as we all know, but I just still don't buy them. And their inability to play defense, they've been playing better defense. I still just don't see it.
So you're going about 6 title teams or title contenders.
Who'd I go with? Nova, Xavier, Michigan State, Virginia.
And that's it?
And ironically, they're 1, 2, 3, 4 in the AP top 25, but they haven't been like that all year, so I don't want. You know what I mean? I don't want to. You just picked that. Like a week ago, Purdue was in the top 3. You know what I mean? Like,
to me, Purdue's a Final Four contender, not a title contender. I mean,
they might
be a title contender, but I'm like, when I was talking to Titus about it, and Titus said, "All right, close your eyes and just say Purdue won the national championship." Does that sound?
I can't.
Right, and that was kind of his point, along with the fact like they don't have the NBA talent, but the fact that like. Okay, just like when you close your eyes and you think about this team and saying they win the national championship, it just you're not like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I just can't, like, because I was in the Ohio State is a good team but not what everyone thinks they are, train, and I when I did my BTN appearance one time, I was like, I looked at the schedule. I was like, they're going to lose at Penn State and they're going to lose at Michigan. Like, yeah. And this was right after – this was the night they had – no, not the night they beat Purdue. But it was just when I was looking at ahead of schedules and I was like, look, Purdue disappointed me that night because I knew this was Ohio State, a good team that, like, you know, just kind of like was in a miracle run and would ultimately, you know, regress back to who they are, which is like a top 25 team but not a true Big Ten and Final Four contender. And that's why I was just, you know, at Mackey, biggest game of the season, and they just kind of laid an egg. They didn't play with energy. They didn't look good. They looked like they looked like a Purdue team that you watch in the tournament.
Yeah, they blew a 14-point lead in the second half, too. Again,
you know, like, it was kind of fluky a little bit because Wesson and Jallo were hitting threes and one banked in. But still, like, to me, Purdue should, like, run circles around that Ohio State team, and they didn't.
So I think we agree. I would throw Arizona and Duke probably in the title.
But I love that Purdue team. Like, I love watching the Purdue team when they're clicking. Like, they're my favorite team to watch when they're clicking on all cylinders and hitting threes.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely fun to watch the way that they pass the ball and shoot the ball well. But teams, I think, are starting to adapt.
But it's just been as stupid as this sounds, like, yes, teams are definitely are adapting. But as well as Isaac Haas has played, they haven't been as good touching him as much, but I guess they've had to because I think teams are just kind of living with him scoring.
Yeah,
beat us with twos, not threes.
That's essentially what they're doing.
Because the threes that they're missing, they're shooting a worse percentage because they're tougher threes.
Yeah, yep, exactly. So let's get into what we texted about doing, and that is I got this idea from our guys at the 3x3U Hoops. It was Cornette and Max doing the all-star teams for college basketball, and they did it east and west and just took five players. We're going to do it a little differently. We're going to do a snake draft. We'll just go back and forth. I shouldn't say snake. We'll just alternate picks. We're going to do eight because I think that's a good rotation number. If you have eight guys, I feel like that's a good gauge of a team. No rules. You don't have to take, you know, X amount of players from a certain conference or – you know, geographically or anything weird like that. And because it's this podcast, we did zero preparing, meaning we don't know who's going first. We don't know who's, you know, what game plan it is, but it's just field the best team, and then we'll put it up on Twitter and let people vote for who would win on a neutral court with these teams. Everyone playing, you know, kind of, we're not expecting people to go shoot 2 for 20 or something like that.
Injured guys count or not count?
Yeah, because you're thinking someone like Bagley.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we'll say he's – because he's not – like, we'll say, like, he obviously counts, but, like, Michael Porter Jr. obviously doesn't count.
Correct, yeah. I mean, I think that makes sense.
Right, because you know what you're getting with Bagley or Vince Edwards or someone like that. So I will give you the first pick.
Oh, I don't like that.
All right, fine. I will take the first pick.
No, actually, yeah, go ahead. Because real quick, like, I was looking at Max and Jordan's teams, and I was like, I like that team, but I think Jordan's team would beat them. You know, like, am I trying to pick the best five players or a team that would
right.
win?
So let's go with the team. Like, we're playing against each other in a game. And what team would be favored?
Yeah, so I won't, like, pick, you know, three bigs, so to speak.
Yeah,
in the first three picks, because then I'm like,
right,
you know, because then one of those guys is going to be on the bench,
right,
so to speak.
So with the first
Go
pick,
ahead.
I'm taking my guy. I live with point guards. I think it's the most important position. I'm taking Jalen Brunson.
Oh, wow. Excuse me. I love me some Jalen Brunson. Worthy of the overall number one pick. I don't know.
I want my point guard.
I want my go-to guy. Who do I want to get a bucket at the end of the game? You know where I'm going, right?
I think, but I'm not sure.
Let's see if you guess it.
Are you taking Blewett?
I'm taking Trevon Blewett, yep. Man. I love him to be able to, with his size, create a shot at the end of the game. He's the guy I want with the ball in my hands.
He's
I don't
the
like,
best closer in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like – one of my pet peeves, and this is why I hated being small, is, like, it's so hard to create a shot when you're, you know, in a situation late in game where everyone's keying on you if you don't have height to shoot over someone,
yep.
If that makes sense.
Yep, I agree. All right, so my second pick.
Whoa, I thought this was Snake.
No, we're just going to alternate picks.
Oh, well, then I wanted first pick.
I said we'll just go alternate. I mean, we can
snake where it goes
if we want.
One, two. I swear you said snake.
We can snake if you want. Go ahead, take it. We'll go snake then. Go ahead and take your next one.
We're snaking. So I took Blewett, and I'm going to take DeAndre Ayton.
Fuck, that's what I was going to – I was, like, lined up to take him. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, I had to. I was going to go point guard, but, like, at this point, like, are you going to take two point guards? You could, but, like, does that make you give you the best team? Strategy. This is fun.
I'm going to go with Marvin Bagley because it's Marvin Bagley. And do I want to do it?
I think you do, and I think I know who you're thinking.
I'm thinking two guys.
I'll tell you after who I just thought of, if you take him.
I'm going to take – I'll tell you what, because we're talking about this year. I'm going to take Miles Bridges.
Dang it. I mean, that's what I was thinking you were going to take. So,
I'm going to take Miles Bridges.
Him and Blewett are the matchup, correct?
I mean, depending what I want to do, because I've Bagley, whether I want to play him at the 5 and 4 and keep Bridges at the 3 or move Bridges to the 4. We have a lot of options right now.
Sir, Ayton and Blewett. I gotta take Sexton.
Okay.
Huh, do I want to do this? I know. Do you know what I'm thinking right now?
I don't know. I
think
feel like
do.
We're thinking a lot of the same stuff.
I know, like, just based off, like, the if we were probably in the opposite order, we'd probably have the same team.
Probably.
Like, do I want to go Trae Young right now? I know that seems crazy after just taking Sexton, but I think you can.
That's who I thought about taking with my Miles Bridges pick.
I think Sexton's strong enough and big enough to guard twos. And he's not as good of a passer as Trae Young. So I'm going to go Trae Young, and I'm going to coach him up to not have to shoot 30-footers and just be Mr. like distributor guy first and then find your shot.
Okay. I'm going to counter that with a guy who is used to playing in a two-point guard system and is a great defender. I'm taking Devontae Graham. Because I can play him and Brunson against Sexton and Young. So I have Brunson, Bagley, Miles Bridges, and Devontae.
This is
going to
be the hardest part, remembering all this.
I'm going to take, because we're talking about this year only, I'm going to take Kata Bates-Diop to fill out my starting five.
Wow, you just stole my next one.
Because he's a perfect wing with my team.
Okay. I think you have next pick as well.
No, because I took Graham and Bates Diop.
Oh, Graham and Bates Diop. Strategy here, and it's hard. I got to write down who I have: Sexton, Ayton, Blewett, and Trae Young.
Yep.
So Sexton, I need size, I think. Oh, absolutely. Jaren Jackson.
That's a good pick.
Jaren Jackson is my four man. I love, holy cow, do I love this. He can step out and shoot. I love my squad. And I have the best sixth man in the world. I'm going to take the asshole who I was talking about earlier, JP McCura.
You're taking Xavier right now.
How am I taking Xavier? He's my bench player.
I know. I'm saying you have Blewett and McCura.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I agree. They're top five for a reason. So I'm sitting with Brunson, Graham, Bagley, Bates Diop.
This is so much fun.
I'm writing down the teams as we go. So I have and Miles Bridges. And you have
if you need Sexton, me to say it, I can't.
You have Sexton, Young.
Jaren, Sexton, Young, Blewett, Jackson, Ayton, McCura.
You know what's really fun? Is right now our four-man matchup is Jaren Jackson versus Miles Bridges.
Really, the two Michigan State guys?
Yep. So, my next two picks, I'm going
to... These are your last two, right?
No, I have three left. You have two left.
You have two, I have two, and then you have one.
Yeah. So, I'm going to take Jock Landale.
Nice.
And I'm going to stay with my versatility, and I'm going to take Mikhail Bridges.
Oh, nice pick. I don't know how I let him slip my mind. I probably wouldn't have taken him, but I probably wouldn't take him that previous round, but that would have been a good one for my next coming round.
Right, right. So you have your last two.
McCura can play the four, so I think I'm going to go to a guard again. Man, I'm making some decisions here. I have a kind of a crush on somebody I'm going to pick next. Don't want to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take Carson Edwards.
Okay.
You're not overwhelmed by that pick.
I think there were better options out there, but
he's good. There are. And that I just, again, I want to roll with guys that I like the way they play.
Right. You have a small backcourt if you run Young and Edwards.
Correct. And I picked like combo guards. I have like three combo guards. And then where do I go? I need a versatile guy at the end here. This is tough. Luke May, just kidding. He would not match up well against your squad. I'm trying to think outside the box too, not like just from a good team, you know. Shoot, can I go back in time? Can I take that pick back?
All right, you want to get rid of Carson Edwards?
I want to get rid of Carson Edwards.
All right, go ahead.
I want Javon Carter.
All right. That's smart.
You know what I mean? Like, that's such a smarter pick.
That's 100% a smarter pick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is why I was, like, shocked when you said that. I was like, oh, really? Okay.
Let's see here. And then I think I need, like, a wing. Do I dare go with one of your Kentucky guys? As a, like, you know, kind of... So I'm done in the guard spot. I need like a 2-3. Mikhail Bridges would have been perfect right here.
That's why I took him.
I mean, I can make an argument. I'm not going to take him that Vincent Edwards could be a good guy as well.
Yeah.
But I don't like, I think there's better out there somewhere that I'm not thinking of.
I think there's a good 2-3 out there that you're missing.
And I'm going to go with Keenan Evans.
That's a really good pick. That's not who I was going to say, but that's a really good pick.
That's who I'm going with.
I thought you were going to go with... Do I want to take him?
Say him now because I can't pick him.
I know, but I'm debating if I want to take him or not because I had somebody else lined up. I thought you were going to... The guy I was thinking that you should have went with was Alonzo Trier.
Oh, yeah. flipped my mind, but I still like my pick better.
Right. Like that, you still went with a good pick. I'm debating if I want to go with Alonzo Trier or Caleb Martin from Nevada. Because Martin's Nevada. like that big time, like he's a big guy.
Got a little more size.
Yeah, because I do have, I have Brunson. Pick. You know, I have 2 point guards. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go with Caleb Martin. So my team is...
I like it.
My team's Brunson, Graham, Bagley, Kade Bates-Diop, Miles Bridges, Jock Landale, Mikhail Bridges, and Caleb Martin. While your team is Sexton, Young, Blewett, Jaren Jackson, DeAndre Ayton, J.P. McCura, Javon Carter, and Keenan Evans.
I got a squad.
That would be... Can we get these teams to, like, actually play? Because that would be really fun.
Like, that'd be really fun. Like, and if we could, like, have, like, an EA Sports simulator happen. Like,
right. If someone smarter than us can put together, like, a what-if sports on this, please let us know.
Please. I can't wait to see the results on this one.
All right. So I will tweet that
and
out.
You know what?
Go ahead.
You know what? Like, maybe we shouldn't put Bobby and Ben's team. I mean, obviously the listeners will know
right.
that are voting on it. But, like, I kind of want to put Team A or Team B.
That's
so
what I'm
going to
do.
Bias.
So we're recording this at, like, 8:20 on Tuesday night. I'm literally going to tweet this out right now and then again in the morning and say, okay, what team wins? And then later we'll talk about it.
Cool. I like this.
So, all right. Any last thoughts?
No, I'm good. I need to shower and eat and get my life together.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on, and I will talk to you later.
Later, dude.
See ya.